Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register. Sorry, I got a cough drop in my mouth. Long time no talk, right? Our fourth straight day with a podcast, Kennington Smith. Good to see you again, my friend. Got more to talk about this morning. I know you don't drink coffee. So what do you drink when you wake up in the morning, Kennington?
Celsius.
What?
Celsius or water.
Oh,
yeah. Like, well, Celsius is a drink, kind of like an energy drink in a way. A lot of people use it for like pre-workout, post-workout, that type of thing. So I get like a little bit of boost off of that. I'll drink water, might drink some juice. Sometimes I just wake up and just vibe out. So I'm still not on the coffee wave yet. Maybe the transfer portal and what's happening over the next few days and weeks might push me to that point. But not for now. I just got some water and I'm ready to roll.
All right, man. Yeah, I finished my coffee already, so I can't go. I can't do any more, but I got a little orange juice on standby. Where do you want to start this morning, Kennington? Obviously, the news of this morning is, that Arlen Bruce IV has entered the transfer portal. We talked about maybe doing an emergency pod late last night, but with a lot of work, you were at the women's game and I had a lot of work to do. So we decided to push it to today. I'm glad we did because, the Cade McNamara news from last night that he committed to Iowa obviously warrants an emergency pod. So where do you want to start, my friend?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with this morning's news and then I guess work back to Cade, who I feel like that quarterbacks, all those things are all going to kind of weave in and become like the central talking point. But I'll just start with Arlen. Same sentiments about him that I had with Keegan yesterday. I mean, great kid. Pleasure to interact with during availabilities. I appreciated his honesty and his candidness throughout the season because there were many times where he was the only receiver at availability, and I felt like he told it like it was in terms of frustrations with the offense and not performing as well as they wanted to, what they needed to do, his own role in the scheme. So just appreciated him for that and always carrying himself in a respectful way. And on the field, I mean – you could tell that he personally was very frustrated with how things were going in multiple games, but the Nebraska one especially was one where, he could tell that he wasn't happy with how things were going. So it's not much of a surprise. I think that with him and Keegan, there were a lot of people who are asking, oh, would Cade's commitment sway them and coming back? I personally don't think so. It's just kind of one of those things where I think that, their mind was probably made up regardless of what was going to happen, and a change of scenery probably would have did them well. So probably start with that, wishing him the best, and then looking at it holistically from Iowa's perspective, the sixth scholarship receiver since 2021 to exit the program. I believe I saw someone on Twitter say nine since 2020. So it is a huge problem. And the receivers are not the problem. The scheme and everything else is the problem. And again, Kelton Copeland's presser a few weeks ago, what he said about the challenges of bringing guys into the program, keeping guys in the program is also a huge challenge as well, obviously. So you kind of feel for him and the tough job that he has. But wide receiver at this point with Cade's commitment has to be Iowa's number one priority right now.
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like Iowa is active in the wide receiver market, or will be active come December 5th. Obviously, coaches cannot contact the prospects until they're in the portal, but doesn't mean the quarterback who committed can't contact, right?
Right.
So, that stuff is happening. So we'll get to that. But yeah, on Arlen. It was kind of interesting. I just thought of this today. I remember, I think it was week one or two, like I kind of sent out on Twitter like a re-rank of the guys that Iowa could least afford to lose. And I remember putting Arlen Bruce, I think, second at that time because he had a big first game against South Dakota State. Five catches, 68 yards. Also had a jet sweep for 11. Really looked like the only playmaker, really the only receiver Iowa had in the first 2 weeks. And so his value was so high, and yet, and then it just kind of dropped off. His production after the Nevada game, he never had a game. This is kind of crazy to think about, Kennington. So he had three catches for 50 yards and a touchdown against Nevada. So at that point in the season, he had nine catches for 127 yards and a score. You know, for Iowa, not bad. Since after that point, he never had a game on nine games where he had more than 19 receiving yards. One catch, 5 yards. Two catches, 7 yards. Two catches, 12 yards. One catch, 7 yards. Two catches, 19 yards. No catches against Purdue. Also missed a game in there somewhere. One catch for seven in Minnesota. One catch for three against Nebraska. What do you recall seeing why the production dropped off? I know an injury cropped up. I know other guys merged, but it was kind of puzzling to see that drop off. And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on why that occurred?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the injury played a part in it. I think that Iowa's route tree and his skill set were just not a very good match. Like, a lot of the times, Arlen's routes to me, and I know these weren't the only routes that he ran, but the majority of the routes to me felt like, you know, very short out routes. Oftentimes, the ball was off of the mark, or he's catching, you know, screens or catching short passes, not a lot of room to run with it. So I just felt like he just wasn't utilized very well. And I mean, you could say that for, you know, pretty much all of Iowa's receivers. I mean, Nico Ragaini, his statistics, I'm sure, looked the best of all of Iowa's receivers, but his yards after catch were a huge part of why his receiving numbers are better than his other receivers, not so much, you know, even his route combinations as well. So I just feel like it was Arlen's usage that really kind of pointed to why he wasn't as productive as we expected him to be. And I think that's another huge part of these expected, projected, whatever you want to say about the offensive changes to come. That has to be a huge part of it, is the wide receiver route trees and putting them in better positions to make plays as well.
All right. So I'm going to read to you Kennington. I know you weren't here at the time, but here are the receivers Iowa has recruited since 2015. And I'll list them off, and you won't recognize many of the names. You will recognize some. Iowa has brought in two transfers in this time, and 10 have transferred out, potentially another one to come in this cycle. And I'm counting Bruce and Johnson as transferred out. Okay, so 2015, Adrian Falconer, Emmanuel Agwo, who ended up running track, Germanique Smith. That was the class of 2015. 2016, Devontae Young. 2017, Max Cooper, Emir Smith-Marset, Brandon Smith. So a good class of receivers there, and two guys that actually stuck around and finished their careers as Hawkeyes. 18, Nico Ragaini, Calvin Lockett, Jack Combs, Charlie Jones as a transfer in, Tyrone Tracy Jr. 2019, Desmond Hudson. 2020, Deontay Vines, Kayvon Matthews. 2021, Brody Brecht, Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce. And 2022, Jacob Bostic. Not a lot of success there, right? So, again, Iowa has to rethink how it recruits receivers, just like you said. And Kelton Copeland initiated that conversation, I feel like, brought it to the light of day. And maybe, I mean, I think the hope is, if you're going to look at it positively, is that the change with Cade McNamara now opens Iowa up to the possibility of bringing in legit wide receivers via the portal, via instant eligibility. That has to be the plan, right? I mean, because they don't have anybody left. They got four scholarship guys left, probably three by the time the bowl game's here. So, you know, there's no choice but to hit the portal hard. But maybe that's a good thing in a way, because you've got a quarterback coming in that's known as a leader, right? A big-time leader. And he doesn't, you know, might as well kind of restock the receiver ranks, and everyone gets a fresh start, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea.
Right. I think the most jarring part about the names that you were reading and the classes that you were reading is how many classes had only one or two receivers committed. How many other programs at Iowa's level that are trying to compete for Power Five division titles, potentially conference championships, are only bringing in one wide receiver per class, sometimes two wide receivers per class. I'm of the opinion you have to have at least 10 scholarship receivers at any given time just because of injuries and just wide receiver sets. Talked about this yesterday. They had seven scholarship guys last spring, and a lot of them were injured. And Kirk said after spring practice how difficult it was to even run a functional practice because they just did not have the bodies. They only had six guys coming into this season. And to your point, we're talking about maybe three, four guys for the bowl game. And then if Nico decides not to come back for a 6-year, as it stands right now, you're in a really, really, really tough spot for spring practice. They're going into the portal. They're going to get several receivers. They have to. That's not speculation. That is me just telling it how it is. They have to go out and, in my opinion, get four or five guys just to be able to function. And then they're going to get some, guys in the 23 class that'll come in the summertime and supplement that. But they have to get back to that double digit mark. And I feel like they were there in 2021. And then they have the mass exodus and it kind of put them in this bad spot. But in terms of just offensive changes, offensive philosophy, all of those things from the coaching staff perspective, if nine guys from one position group leaving in a 2-year span and six in 1 year does not wake you up to the fact that something needs to change, then I just don't know what will. I feel like the coaching staff's eyes are wide open, though. Like, and I know that we're going to get into Cade, but I feel like this is a good segue into why I feel like the coaches understand the temperature in the room. The beginning of 2022, Kirk Ferentz had the introductory press conference where he basically said that he was betting on the team. He brought back Brian as offensive coordinator. He brought back the quarterback room. He said, "I'm betting on us." And it didn't work. What was the first thing that Kirk did when he had the opportunity to go get another quarterback? He did it. Like, not only did he go get a quarterback, he got the quarterback out of the portal to this point. I mean, literally the first opportunity that he had to do something about the quarterback room when the offseason hit, he did it. So that lets me know that he understood how challenging the season was, something needed to change, and he went and rectified that and made a change. I expect the same thing to happen at wide receiver. It's going to take a little bit of time. There's still guys to enter into the portal. It's obviously going to take a lot more work to recruit four, five, six guys than it did one guy at one position. But just reading the tea leaves, I feel like they understand the situation that they're in. And I think they're going to be very aggressive in trying to, to change that and to have a better output in 2023.
Right. And I know a lot of fans want all the answers right now. Like, you know, which receivers are we getting? Like, how's this going to happen? Like I said, like we talked about yesterday, you have to be patient in this part. This is a whole process. And the thing is, last night, Kennington, you could feel the charge of excitement within Iowa football with the Cade McNamara commitment. No question about it. And that's the kind of excitement you need to capitalize on in recruiting, right? I mean, it's organic. You can't, it's just like, if there's a rash of transfers, you get a negative feeling, you get good news. Hey, guys want to join on. So everyone just has to like, let this play out. It is clear to me that Iowa's coaches have a plan. They're not going to tell you the plan exactly, but I think we're seeing signs that something is changing. And I think the personnel seems to be the obvious first thing that you can fix. Now, I know there's a question in our YouTube chat. I'm curious your thoughts on this too, Kennington. Does McNamara's arrival mean that Brian Ferentz is more likely to stay or less likely to stay? Do you have any thoughts on that? And then I'll answer.
I feel like the answer is less likely. I think that there had to be some sort of concessions made to Cade that what they have done in the past is not what they're going to do moving forward. he was somebody who obviously committed very early on in the process. I mean, it hasn't even officially started yet and already committed to Iowa. He was going to have a lot of options, and he was going to have some schools with some cachet, branding behind them that was going to come after him and kick the tires on him. I feel like there had to have been some sort of conversation about schematically, structurally, whatever they were going to do, cater the offense around him, let him pick his receivers, whatever it was that gave him that kind of vote of confidence and entrance to the program. Personally, I don't think that that means for Brian Fancy that's particularly good news, but we'll see what happens. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm mixed on it. I mean, I could see a scenario in which the personnel becomes the big change, and I think that would be a huge positive. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on our podcast, and I wrote it in my column. I mean, I'm not saying the offense lit the world on fire in 2018 and 19 under Brian Ferentz's direction, but it was much better than it is now. And that's because they had a good quarterback and they had some pretty good receivers in Amir Smith-Marset and Brandon Smith. That obviously they had good tight ends too, but we think Iowa's going to have good tight ends, this year, next year, beyond. But so I think the possibility is there that Kirk Ferentz says, this is our big change. We're going heavy on personnel. We still think our offense works. I know some people won't want to hear that. I think that's possible, but I also think there's enough, like you said, kind of smoke out there. I totally randomly brought up Josh Gattis's name to you on the podcast. I can't remember which podcast it was, right? I asked you, like, is he's on thin ice at Miami? And now I've seen those folks throw that name out there as a possibility to come in as OC and wide receivers coach. I have zero information on that. So if you're looking for that, I don't know. But obviously he worked with Cade McNamara. He was used to be at Alabama. It would make sense, something like that, right? It would make sense. It all would make sense. If he's OC and wide receivers coach, John Budmeyer potentially elevated to quarterbacks coach, who recruited McNamara at Wisconsin, tried to anyway. He's the one that offered McNamara at Wisconsin, is what I read, I think, yesterday. So there are some possibilities out there. We'll have to let it play out. I'm not trying to fan the flames on any speculation, but there are options out there, and depending on how aggressive Iowa wants to be.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a few different options and ways that they could go. As far as Josh Gattis, I mean, it was a really disappointing year at Miami. And that's not to say that Mario Cristobal would remove him as offensive coordinator, but there could be a scenario where he might potentially just walk away from Miami and pursue another opportunity. If that were to happen, let's say there's an opening at OC, quarterbacks coach, wide receivers coach, split positions, whatever, and Iowa approaches Gattis and makes him $1 million coordinator. Reunite with your old quarterback. Josh Gattis also, I mean, Broyles Award winner, coached at Michigan, coached at Miami. He also has major connections across the country with guys entering into the portal that he's crossed paths with on the high school trail. He would also be a huge asset. So I think that could be a possibility as well. Again, don't have any information on that, but I think that is a greater than 0% chance. I'll put it like that.
Right. Another question asking about O-line help in the portal. Right now, I think the focus, from what I understand, I'm sure they're going to look at that, but I think the focus right now, understandably, is on wide receivers. And then the other question that we have is, wondering who the next wide receiver to go is. I don't want to say for sure, because maybe the McNamara thing changes, some minds. So we don't know that for sure. And so you have to be respectful to the athletes. No concrete news on for sure a third departure, but if it happens, I wouldn't be surprised. That receiver. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll say something about the offensive line. That is more. That's more of a tough position to kind of transition into, like getting via the portal. It's obviously happened. Michigan, for example, got somebody via the portal, the center. I'm escaping his name, but he was a Remington finalist. Obviously, he was at the top level. So I think if it's not a guy who is at that level, like trophy award winning lineman, all conference type of player, I don't know if Iowa would kick the tires on somebody like that, just because I feel like they feel good about the core group of the offensive line, a really, really, really young group. So I feel like they will probably bank on the development of that line. And they also have a huge influx of talent coming in via the 2023 recruiting class. I mean, this is one of the best offensive line classes nationally for that position. You have three All-Americans in one class. You have Leighton Jones, you have Trevor Lauk, and Caden Proctor all coming in. Proctor's going to be an early enrollee. So you have guys, Lauk and Proctor are both tackles, huge positions of need there. So I would expect Iowa to probably stand pat at the offensive line right now. Obviously, you never know what could happen, but youth on the team, on the line right now, with the guys coming in, they probably feel pretty good about the trajectory of that group.
Yeah, I'm guessing that, yeah, of one position that Kirk Ferentz would repeat his line, if I'm betting on us, in February, might be that offensive line. I mean, we do think that the group of guys that they have there have a lot of great potential, and obviously add Caden Proctor to that mix. You know, there's material to work with, and you know, I think also the possibility exists that Brian Ferentz becomes the offensive line coach. So yeah, there's lots of stuff out there that could happen. Based on what Kirk said back in the fall, it was a really rousing vote of confidence for George Barnett. So I kind of think he's safe at this point, but yeah, we'll see. Let's move on to McNamara and receiver talk. Does that work?
Yeah,
21 minutes in, we probably should. NIL, huge factor. I wrote this last night. thanks to Brad Heinrichs of Iowa Swarm for interacting with me and helping me get a better sense of kind of how it took place. You can read that at HawkCentral.com. But I think there was I think yesterday disproved the idea that Iowa is falling way behind in the NIL game. In fact, you know, I think, as we talked about yesterday with Proctor and now with McNamara, NIL has played a huge role. And it sounds like, based on what I read in Hawkeye Report last night, that the number of new contributors to Iowa Swarm like skyrocketed last night. And that is also, that's the type of momentum we're talking about in recruiting and also in NIL. This seems to be very, very encouraging development just for Hawkeye football. And if you want to land wide receivers, you know, and you're seeing money pour into this, to the Iowa Swarm collective, that has to be a really encouraging sign. And we know this fan base is really passionate, and when it's excited, it can make some moves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at the enthusiasm to join the collective now that you see that it works, just because, I mean, again, this is just something that is new. And I think that for the fans, there is a justified hesitancy to continue to invest money if you don't know for sure that it's going to net results, right? I mean, there's a lot of avenues to support athletes through NIL. And I'm not telling anybody how to spend their money or anything like that. But when there is this perception of, you know, Iowa's behind in the NIL game, and then you have the cost of tickets and parking and sessions and merchandise and all of those things that kind of go into the cost of being a fan. You're asking for more money on top of that for NIL. And you feel like they're behind, or the money isn't going to be utilized in a way that's going to bring in a big fish. You know, you're going to kind of push back on that. But now you see Caden Proctor staying on with Iowa in all likelihood. You get Cade McNamara into the fold, and there were definitely some NIL implications there. Again, he was one of the premier players, if not the premier player in the portal to this point. Had to have there, you know, to reel him in. Now that you see there's proof in the pudding, now you can go in and invest and feel comfortable that the money is going to be, you know, put to good use, and that they're going to be able to continue to bring in, you know, high quality players. And in that, obviously, that's not to say that the Swarm is, you know, misusing the money or whatever that the case may be. But it's, again, it's just like, it's just new. So they want to see, you know, a proof of concept before they go all in. The proof of concept is there now. I expect the fans to, you know, continue to give to that. And there's really no telling, like, you know, where the Swarm Collective could go from here. I mean, if they have like a huge, huge amount of people investing into it. So, you know, I don't think that should be as big of a concern anymore. And I think that at this point, that is one of the biggest selling points that Iowa has to guys into the portal, especially at the receiver position, like you said, in addition to immediate playing time, the chance to play with Cade. Iowa is a division contender, and now you have a money component on top of that. Obviously, the scheme and their usage is going to be an uphill climb right now, just because we don't know what the changes are going to be, if any. But those, you know, 3-4 aforementioned points, that's a pretty good starting place for rebuilding a receiver room through the portal.
Yeah, and it starts with Cade McNamara. Obviously, this is a guy that plans to use both years of his eligibility in Iowa City. So that's a really positive thing as well, especially as he deals with coming back from the knee injury. We don't know the time frame on that. Haven't been able to talk to him. So I don't know what the time frame is there. I just would suspect, I mean, it's probably a case where he misses most, if not all, of spring ball. But we'll see. We'll see. But that would give Joe Labus time to develop. I mean, people asking about Joe Labus, like, he could, at this point, he's the backup quarterback next year. So, I mean, no reason for him to leave, it doesn't seem like, to me. Could be wrong, but anyway. And then, this isn't a Joe Labus podcast. We've done enough of those this week, but
right. And I'm sure there's a good chance that we might be doing more of that, you know, in the future as well. But on the Swarm, they sent out this tweet literally as we were starting this podcast. So this from the official Swarm Twitter page. Thank you for all the amazing support of the Swarm. We have gained nearly 200 new members in the last 24 hours.
Wow. Yeah. And I know I think it's $19.58 a month is kind of the low end that you can contribute to get started or whatever. And when I talked to Brad Heinrichs last night, so that's like $240 a year. So when I talked to him a little bit last night, one of my text group users had asked, you know, I'd like to join. Like, what's the best place to donate to? And he said that the general collective, the one that benefits the basketball players and the football players, the one that, you know, everyone gets the same amounts. That's the one that right now is endorsed by Iowa football and the one that benefits the athletes. Again, we're not telling you how to spend money, but if you have that question, that was kind of the answer. And because the more people that contribute to that, the more that the, you know, roster retention also is going to help down the road. Again, not telling you how to spend your money at all. Whatsoever, but just informative there. But you know, this is building. This is, I mean, 200 new members. I mean, that's a lot. What is it, like $40,000? I don't know, maybe more than that. Probably.
Yeah. Well, I think it's.
I mean, if you're at the absolute minimum.
Yeah, 200 at a one-time payment is about 4,000. I don't think that all 200 came in at that low level. I just think statistically there's going to be people on the high end, on the middle end, and
yeah. 48,000.
Right. 000. And how these collectives work, I mean, the amount that you put in reflects how much you get back in benefits. So I don't have the hierarchy in front of me. And I remember when the Swarm was first introduced, like they kind of had like, you know, the tiers of $19.58 per month gets you XYZ. If you donate 100 per month, it gets you XYZ, whatever. Just go to the Iowa Swarm Twitter page. They have all the information there on their website, and you can see from there. But I mean, again, that's a pretty impressive number. And I think that it just kind of points to, again, how passionate the fan base is and how hungry they are to have a championship level team. So the support is there. And I think on the surface level, you have to be excited as a fan that at least Iowa is willing to play ball now. That's something that a year ago, that was a huge question mark. Would Iowa play ball in the NIL game? Would they entertain the portal in an aggressive way? All of those things. So you're starting to see the beginning stages of that starting to come into fruition. And that has to be exciting. Someone in the comments is asking me if you're drinking a mimosa, Chad. You can tell the people the truth.
It's the last of the orange juice. The kids ran out of milk today. I'm down to the last bit of orange juice in the carton. It's been so busy this week, haven't gone to the store. Yeah, just orange juice, and that's all I got left to get through this podcast. No vodka in it, I promise. One more thing on the collective, and there is an arm for like the big ticket endorsements. So it's, again, you'd have to investigate all that stuff. But as I put in the article, there is a collection of businesses that contributes to pay the QB1. And so, there is a good amount set aside for QB1, and that will be Cade McNamara. So let's talk about him. I mean, I've a little bit more here. Just the impact we think he might have. We don't know how good he's going to look on September 2nd when Iowa faces Utah State. But what feedback or what have you kind of ascertained out there? There was one tweet I saw yesterday from the reference an assistant coach at Michigan saying he's just an unbelievable leader. And so to me, that's also another Kirk Ferentz bonus here. That's the type of guy that Kirk Ferentz wants to bring into his locker room, that he's going to be a leader because, let's be honest, the offense didn't have that leadership this year. There was one captain on offense, and it wasn't the quarterback. It was the tight end, and he's leaving. So who's going to lead this offense? Cade McNamara.
Yeah, and I think that the leadership component is especially important when you consider – the nucleus of the offense and what you feel so great about going into next year are all players that are so young. Caleb Johnson, Luke Lachey, Mason Richmond, the rest of the offensive line, a really young group, Addison Estranga. Those are the type of guys that are going to be at the forefront next year. You need that strong veteran presence to kind of hold it all together. And on top of that, this is a proven winner. Led Michigan to an undefeated season last year up until the college football playoff, won a Big Ten championship. So he has that pedigree. So I think that's something that should not be understated. And I think that all of those things, when you talk about his character, his leadership, how he handled the situation last year, it's really kind of like funny and ironic to think back to Michigan's quarterback situation and what Iowa was going through as well at the beginning of the year. I think I touched on this at Big Ten Media Day, like an article that I did that, you know, for as much as the conversation with Iowa, their two quarterback situation, Michigan is going through the same thing as well with McNamara and McCarthy. And Cade represented Michigan at Big Ten Media Day, not knowing whether he was going to be the starter or not, and represented himself in the program very well. I think that says everything you need to know about him. And when he lost his job to McCarthy, he stayed in as a backup up until his injury. And when he left the program and announced his commitment to Iowa and everything, I mean, just go in his quote tweets and his replies and look at the support that he got from his teammates. So somebody who I think very much fits into the culture at Iowa. On the field, I mean, this is a significant upgrade from what they've had certainly in the last 2-3 years. And I think you can go even farther back in time than that. You can go look at some of his throws and some of his highlights from, you know, the 2021 season at Michigan. And he made some throws and he could do some things with his legs that Iowa just hasn't had in their offense recently. And that's not to say that he's going to be some Bryce Young type, you know, super running for, you know, 75, 80, 100 yards, passing for another 300. But he has enough mobility to escape pressure, make throws on the run. And just from a pure pocket perspective, I mean, a 64, 65% completion rate, very few turnovers. He's exactly what Iowa needs. Obviously, we'll have to see how he recovers from, you know, surgery and all of that. He's out rehabbing in California. I'm sure he's getting the best care, and I'm sure that he's going to continue to do so when he gets to Iowa City. So that will be something to monitor. But, I mean, this was a home run. I don't think you can look at it any other way for Iowa. Again, they did not go out and get a quarterback out of the portal. They got the quarterback out of the portal. The marquee premier player to date right now in the transfer portal went out, got him, secured him before other big schools were able to enter into the mix. So I have to give credit to Kirk Ferentz, have to give credit to Tyler Barnes and the entire staff for further efforts to go in there and be really aggressive and to get that win. So I don't know. I mean, again, I haven't been here very long. I don't know if I've seen the fan base as excited as they were last night when they got Cade in the, you know, 18 months that I've been out here. So, you know, it's kind of like, again, the portal taketh away. Guys are leaving, but the portal can give also. So I'm sure there's a lot of mixed emotions and mixed reactions with guys coming in and guys leaving out. But I think that fans should be at least excited with the fact that Iowa's not going to sit on their hands and just like let all of these departures and things happen. They're going to try to, you know, rebuild the team for next year.
Good comment from someone in the YouTube chat that maybe it helped Iowa that it wasn't preparing for Indianapolis this week. I mean, Kirk Ferentz and staff could kind of devote their time to fixing this quarterback problem. And if it did, hey, better to have lost to Nebraska than go get drilled by Michigan on Saturday in Indy without your quarterback, you know, top two quarterbacks, without Cooper DeJean. I mean, maybe he would play without Laporta probably. I mean, it would have been a disaster. All right, Kennington, before we go, I know we ran a little long here, but Treshawn Holden, that's kind of the name out there right now that people are watching. I haven't watched any of his film, but I know he's at Alabama and going into the portal, and he's liking Cade McNamara tweets about coming to Iowa and has a connection to him. So do you take it from here on Treshawn?
Yeah, so Treshawn Holden is, you know, a guy who's been in Alabama's receiver rotation the last few years. This is not one of those guys who transfers from Power 5 out of the portal who was disgruntled about playing time. I mean, Treshawn Holden was firmly in Alabama's wide receiver rotation. So they haven't had the same receiver room as they've had in years past with the Jerry Judys and the Jalen Waddles and the Devontae Smiths, obviously, but you have to be at a certain level to play consistently at Alabama at receiver. So this kid's a player. I mean, he was a top 150 prospect, four-star, highly recruited out of high school. And he played his senior season of high school out in California. Cade is from Reno, Nevada. So you think about 7-on-7 circuits and just kind of the connection that those guys on the West Coast have. There is, you know, some relationship there. I do believe that Treshawn follows Tyler Barnes on Twitter, and I think that Barnes follows him back. Cade and Treshawn follow each other on social media and all those things. And those things might sound, you know, trivial and arbitrary, but, you know, that is, you know, college athletics now. And that's kind of how it works, like, you know, connecting with people on social media and all of those things. So there is some smoke there. He is going to be highly sought after in the portal as well. So, again, I wouldn't necessarily classify it as, you know, 100% slam dunk. He's going to have interest. But I expect Iowa to be major contenders in there as well. And, you know, should he come to Iowa when it's all said and done, I would not be surprised, you know, the first time we get a chance to talk to him, that he pinpoints the relationship with Cade as one of the major reasons why he would have decided to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's just mind-blowing, really. If Iowa pulls in an Alabama receiver, I mean, that's look at his numbers here. This year he had 24 catches for 304 yards with 5 touchdowns, started 5 games. And guess what? One of his best games was against Utah State, who Iowa plays in the September 2nd opener. How's that for symmetry? He knows how to burn Utah State. 5 catches, 70 yards, 2 scores in that game. Don't want you, you know, excuse me, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves there, but at least it's a good sign that I was involved. And again, as we talked about earlier, the NIL is in place, and maybe, you know, some things have to be put together on that front at the Swarm. But all of a sudden, 24 hours after the Keegan Johnson departure, you feel a lot better. And I mean, 6'3", 214, that would be a huge get. Not saying they're going to get him, but it's like, okay, McNamara was your first target. Now here's your new top target, right? I mean, this is how you build it.
Right. I mean, how would the feelings change if Iowa were to hit on their two top targets out of the portal and one came from Michigan and one came from Alabama? Like, talk about it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Talk about a shift from Iowa would never go into the portal, or they're, you know, that's just not who they are, you know, from a philosophy standpoint. And then their first two guys would be those two as potential building blocks. So something to be excited about for sure. Again, we'll see how it all plays out. It's not even Monday yet. So again, there is going to be much more to come, whether it's exits or whether it's entries. I mean, it is literally just getting started, and it feels like it's been going on forever now. And it's only been like 3 days since this all started. But it's going to be a really crazy December leading up to what is going to be a really interesting bowl season. When you think about who's left on the roster, who's going to be available to play, questions about the coaching staff, on top of early signing day, more transfer portal news, and all of that. So crazy few days, but buckle up. It is only going to the intensity is only going to ratchet up from here. Like the level that fans are feeling right now, us on the beat are feeling right now, like this is the calmest that it's going to feel, I feel like, for the foreseeable future. I feel like it's only the ante is only going to be raised like in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I anticipate more emergency pods in our future, Kennington. Appreciate you, my man. That was fun. Hope you Hawk fans out there enjoyed it. For Kennington Smith, this is Chad Leistico, Des Moines Register. Catch our coverage, hawkcentral.com. As always, appreciate you, and talk to you probably really soon. Right. Take care.